It works anywhere it's put to work. And there's nothing in the world order that faith won't overcome.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Rick Renner as they begin this week's teaching, The Unlimited Power of Christ in You. When you take your place in Christ and put your faith to work, anything is possible.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into the Word of God. Father, we just bless you and praise you this morning for your Word. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you for the Spirit of God, who is our mighty teacher. And we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you join me again today in welcoming Rick Renner to this broadcast?
Thank
Praise
you,
God,
you,
Rick.
Copeland.
Thank you, sir, for being my friend.
Thank you.
And thank you for being my partner. Praise
thank
God.
You.
We've been partnered up now for a long time. And
we have.
And it's been very, very fruitful. Yeah. I've enjoyed the harvest. Praise
Brother
God.
Copeland, we've been partners 20 years.
20 years.
20 years.
In that 20-year period of time, we've seen untold numbers of people come to Jesus throughout Eastern Europe, parts of China, Muslim nations, communist nations. We were there before communism quit. And I mean, we've watched God move all over that place, and you and I have been partners in it all the way through it.
And there's just about not a place where you can go now where they don't watch you in glory on TV. And you know, your books, Brother Copeland, have been, I mean, at last count, I think there's about 18, 19 million copies of your books.
My goodness.
Isn't that a remarkable figure?
Think about that. That's the reason I was telling you. I like you as a partner. Praise God.
Well, thank you.
Sowing into your ministry through those books and television and so forth, working together. When it was brought to my attention, and I came to the knowledge of what God called you to do in there, then I literally heard the Lord say, He's your partner, and you partner with Him because He is this ministry, talking about our ministry, this is this ministry's gateway into all of Eastern Europe and all those things. So that's the reason we just immediately contacted you, and it was very much like what the Lord said to us about Mike Barber and the prison ministry. You know Mike.
I love Mike.
And that his ministry was the gateway into that prison system. Now, isn't that something? Jesus said, I'm the door. Well, you better find out what the door says about where His doors are, instead of just either not ever going there or just banging your head up against the wall, because your primary anointing was there. And so it was almost a lost principle in the body of Christ until over the last, really over the last 50 years. You remember when Oral Roberts came out with the partner concept, that it wasn't just a way to raise money, that you were in partnership together, doing what each one is called to do and each one's anointings complementing one another. Mm-hmm. That was God's plan. It's the New Testament plan, not only for the financing of the body of Christ, but also for the distribution of the anointing. Because those anointings rest in the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And it's those that God calls and pulls in to partner with certain ministries. All ministries are not called to do the same thing.
That's right.
And one of the way people have destroyed the effect of the anointing is to think every preacher is a jack of all trades and preach the whole counsel of God. I don't know the whole counsel of God. And it's when I try to little dab of this and little dab of that and little dab of this, well, I'm supposed to do this and I'm then da-da-da-da-da. And never inquire with Jesus about who you are or what you're supposed to do. Jesus is the whole counsel of God. He's all of it. I couldn't handle the whole counsel of God if he told me what it was. No one man can, but the body of Christ can. And you take specialties in his counsel. Mm-hmm. And that's when that specialty and the people that are called in that line, and there'll be another fellow that his ministry goes down a different way. Well, if those two ever get to fighting one another, you mess up both of them, and that's what Satan tries to do. But if I stay with my calling, and you stay with your calling, and other ministers of the gospel stay with their calling and stay right in their place, Jesus begins to pull us together, and we will touch all the bases, all the counsel of God. And through that, there's a distribution of his anointing to do all the things he's designed to do. And when man alive, I knew God said that was the open door to that part of the world, but I really didn't have any concept in the beginning of it that it was going to go so fast, so far.
Neither did I.
And it,
neither did I.
But man, it did, didn't it?
It did. Denise and I thought we would be there maybe for a year, and now 2 decades later, we're entrenched. And the work just keeps going like this and like this and like this. And I mean, there's not a day that Denise and I don't just sit and look at each other at some point in the day and say, this is amazing.
Isn't that
just amazing?
And that's, it's really hard to put words around
it is.
Sometimes.
It is.
You just sit there and think, wow, this is... How did this happen?
Brother Copeland, I mean, I've raised my family in the capital of communism. I mean, my kids have grown up around Lenin's tomb. I mean, who would have ever thought it? I'm from Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And there in that environment, we have seen the book of Acts unfold right in front of our eyes. And it's just been the greatest experience of our life. And I really am grateful to you for being a partner.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you do it God's way, If you do what Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do, it'll work.
Mm.
And Solomon, and all he wrote in Ecclesiastes, he went through that whole thing and got down to the bottom of the book after all of these things he talked to me. He said, now here's my conclusion. It is the sole duty of every man to fear God and obey his commandments. He could have written that whole book in one verse. You know, it is the sole duty of man to hear and obey. And it'll work. It's when you get in there and think you're smarter than God, oh man, that really messes deal up. Praise God. Anyhow, God bless you, man.
Thank you.
All that to tell you. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
All right, Book of Revelation. We were there all of last week, and you've opened some real insight. Most people spend all of their time, not all of them, but most scholars spend all their time trying to understand what John wrote without any understanding of John.
Mm-hmm.
Why he was there, how he thought, mm-hmm. what was in his life, and how he did and thinks. My most active book in the Bible, I don't have a favorite because it's all the Word of God, and whichever one I'm in at that time, that's my favorite. But the most active one, the one that I read to not only to enjoy but just feed on,
mm-hmm.
is 1st and 2nd John.
They're powerful.
Particularly 1st John. But if you get in there and read that, and read it a long time, read it over and over again, get different translations and read and listen to what this man's saying, then you go to the book of Revelation and you understand what's in the heart of the man that wrote it, and now you've taken us into to in-depth look at him in that situation around it. Man, it has blessed me.
Yeah, it's changed God. This study of the first three chapters of Revelation has absolutely changed my life.
Well, I know you said when you wrote the first volume of the big book,
mm-hmm.
Light and Darkness, mm-hmm. that it changed your entire life.
It did. You know, I've been in the ministry for 36 years, but writing this book, it's like it took me between the lines. It took me into the culture of the New Testament and just filled it out so that I understood it like never before. Even what we're going to look at here in just a few minutes, you're talking about partnership.
Yeah.
Partnership's right here in Revelation chapter 1. And the churches were so interrelated and had such a partnership with one another and the evils that they faced in their society. And Brother Copeland, people today talk about how dark the world is, and there's no doubt that we're living in the last days and things are changing very fast. Almost seems a little bit like there's a return to paganism. But we haven't faced anything yet like they faced in the first century. I mean, imagine, they lived in a world, at least today, there are denominations. Even if people don't go to the denominations, they have Bibles. There is access to information. But in the first century, you get outside the little diaspora of the Jewish community, there was no Bible, there was no light, it was a pagan system completely ruled by the occult. Every facet of society was ruled by the occult. It's the only religion they knew. So there was a darkness on a level that we've never met in our life, and it was everywhere. So when the gospel came, it was really a light in darkness.
And then they repeated it again in Europe.
Yes, they did.
600, 650.
Dark Ages.
700. They were even called the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Where Satan managed to cut a line through Christians and Jews. And when they fell for that, and they did away with the Torah and the rest of the prophets, when they did away with that, they had no concept of God. They didn't know who he was or what he was or how he thought or anything else. And they started just making Christianity up as it went along. Some king had stepped in and changed this or changed that. And it hit again. And boy, they got mistreated. Horribly.
Mm.
But this book, the Word of the Living God, is the great separator.
It is.
And when you, I don't care what situation you're in, when you know how to live in His Word and walk in it and take it as His covenant bond, He swore these words in the blood of Jesus, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you realize that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, you're looking at God. This is a manifestation of God just as much as Jesus being manifested in the earth. That was the Word become flesh. It is just as much a manifestation of God as the Holy Ghost coming on the day of Pentecost.
Well, actually, the word inspiration, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, is the word theopneustos. And it's the picture of God not breathing on something, but it's the picture of God breathing into something. And the best example would be if I took a balloon, and I took a balloon to my lips, and I blew into that balloon, suddenly the balloon would begin to take a new form. And it would grow and grow. If I suddenly tied off that balloon, what's in that balloon? I'm in that balloon.
Yeah, absolutely.
My molecules are in that balloon. Well, that word inspiration means that when God inspired men to write, the word began to take form. It was one revelation upon another revelation, and the understanding began to grow and grow and grow. And now the Bible is not just a book about God. God is in the book.
The
way, he is in the book.
The way he did that was the breath of his spirit in words.
Yes.
Words are containers. I can hurt you for life.
With a word.
With word.
Yes, you can.
I can bring God's healing to you.
With a
he
word.
He sent his word, and it healed them. So, and think about this, Rick. Gloria and I have spent the last 44 years presenting the fact that when a person is born again, according to the first chapter of the book of Colossians, he is delivered
from darkness,
from the authority, which would be the kingdom. He's delivered from the authority, the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, or actually, into the kingdom of the Son of
His love.
All right? I've been moved over there, and I'm supposed to be living there. I'm supposed to be seeking first that kingdom. And when I seek that kingdom, promote that kingdom, I do what the kingdom needs me to do. I spend my days every day consulting and inquiring of Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom. And I, to see what I'm to do today. That by His Word, walking in His Word, believing His Word, standing on His Word, His faith is in His Word, and when I feed it into my spirit, it releases faith in me. I release faith then in my words. When I walk like that, all these things will be added unto me, and then nobody can stop it. No government can stop it.
You're in a new kingdom.
Yeah, you're in a new kingdom. So live like it. I'm living under their laws. So now, you know, you and I both talked about this years ago. There were people that immigrated to the United States and they tried to live by the same laws they'd been living under in the USSR.
Does not work.
And they were just as poor and broke here as they were there. And some of them cried and went back home because at least somebody there would tell them what to do every day.
Yep.
The no renewal of the mind.
When you move
to the new kingdom.
In a new territory, you live by new rules.
Yes, sir. Now, in the land of Goshen, there was light.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, there was darkness. And God said, I put a wall between the two of them. Now, that wall is the separation between the curse and the blessing. The curse that came on man and mankind and into this earth through sin and death by sin, Jesus bore that curse. He was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, or all the rest of us, amen, so that we could become the seed of Abraham and be born into that kingdom.
Mm.
It works anywhere it's put to work. And there's nothing in the world order that faith won't overcome.
Well, faith overcomes the world.
That's where I got that.
You know, the word world there is the word cosmos. It's faith overcomes the world system.
This whole mess.
The whole system.
The whole curse. because that's what the mess is the curse, and gave birth to that system out there.
You know, Brother Copeland, that word overcomes is the word catalambano. It means take it down, master it, conquer it, subdue it. Faith takes it down. Faith conquers it. Faith masters it. And we just do not have to be subject to the system.
May I take you back to Adam and his wife? God crowned him with his glory and said, be fruitful, multiply, and what? Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have authority over it.
It's the original commandment.
Yeah. So the blessing had the power then, and it's never changed.
I mean, it was the first words God ever spoke to man.
Subdue this thing and have authority over it. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing now. And you do it through the Word, through faith, walking in it, knowing you're redeemed from the curse. When Kelly came over and announced to us that they were going to have she's going to have another baby.
Mm-hmm. That was good news.
Well, here she was, 46 years old. Well, now, you know what everybody thinks about a woman that age having a child.
Kelly looks good for 46.
So it flashed across my mind when Gloria and I ministered to she and Steve, and we laid hands on her and on the baby at the same time. And just as I touched her, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, people that have knowledge of their redemption from the curse, and they live a life in that redemption and rebuke and know how to stop that curse from coming into our lives. Anyone that can still conceive that has lived that way is not too old to have a baby. I thought, well, certainly. I mean, it's the curse. Wasn't it the curse of childbearing? Wasn't that the problem in the first place?
Yes.
There's a problem there, brother. But Kelly's lived all of her life redeemed from that curse, knows it and walks in it. She's raised in it. And it was the easiest of all her children.
And she's got a beautiful baby.
Her fifth child was her easiest at 46, almost 47 years old. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
But see, she's not subject to the laws and the rules of that cursed land.
Maybe Denise and I ought to think about having another baby.
Go for it, brother. But I'll tell you, you better talk to her about it before you announce this, man.
Might even have to talk to my kids.
Amen. Brother Rick, now I'll be back in just a moment.
Salvation. The word salvation is the Greek word sozo, which in this particular case would be better translated liberation or release.
Rick Renner, world-renowned author, Greek language scholar, and biblical historian, presents his new book, A Light in Darkness, Volume 1, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches. This landmark work combines archaeological facts, biblical history, and precise Greek interpretation to recreate the life and times of the early church. By illuminating the cultural attitudes, locations, and social realities of times when John wrote Revelation, A Light in Darkness illustrates the relevance of Jesus' words in the book of Revelation to our lives today. Volume 1 brings the prison island of Patmos and cities of Ephesus and Smyrna to life. Rick Renner's meticulous attention to detail takes the reader on a journey through pagan temples and ancient marketplaces to understand the trials of the early church that will change the world. This unique book is written in terms that everyone can understand and enjoy. Order A Light in Darkness, the new book by Rick Renner, at a 20% savings for $64.95 plus $4.99 shipping and handling. Other shipping options for faster delivery are available online at kcm.org. Remember, you'll receive an additional product discount when you order your book through our website. To order by phone or mail, use the information on your screen. A Light in Darkness vividly brings the Bible to life. Order your copy today.
A Light in Darkness, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches of course, talking about the book of Revelation, the seven churches in the Revelation. Now, here's what, now Rick, you know, over the years, I mean, I've been in this ministry, like I said earlier, 44 years. I've read a lot of books about those seven churches and so forth, and good stuff. But I've never been into anything like this. And the way it struck me was that I'm not reading a book written by somebody that read somebody else's book and then constructed what they had to say about those cities. You guys did research, I mean deep research on
these. I went to Turkey 10 times in 1 year.
And you're looking at these things.
I can give you a tour.
You're standing there.
Like the back of my hand, I can take you to Ephesus.
Now, didn't God lead you into some areas where other people have not been to get information
and research? There are places where you can't go. And God just put me in the right places with keys in my hands. I went where places nobody goes. And they're in this book.
And I got it all right here.
Yeah,
I don't have to go through all that. But that's what I'm saying to you. You get in here and begin to read this and then begin to study it, and it's like you live there. You know what's going on in these cities, and it's just, well, it is a stirring thing.
Changed my life.
And it's working on mine right now.
I'm not
finished with it. I just got mine a few days ago. But I'm telling you what, you need to get your hands on this. You understand? Praise God. Bring the whole family into it. It's good, good, good. Thank you, Father, for blessing this radio and television audience all over the world. Mm. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, a great resource in things like this is KCM.org. Get in there. Watch the broadcast. Watch church services. Feed on God's Word. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Rick Renner reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live It East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
John didn't sit down that day and say, I'm going to force myself to have a spiritual experience. John was living his life, living in that cave on the Isle of Patmos, doing what every believer does, probably praying in the Spirit, believing God, when all of a sudden, genomai, something happened that totally took him off guard.